as she brings the word that she's been prompting me about for a while, just this phrase that's kept coming to her from a passage in Scripture, and I know it's going to bless you. So here you are, babe.
Okay. Amazing, amazing. What amazing senior pastor that's willing to go back and teach the senior class. Right? It's amazing. Okay, so welcome. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's to you. You what? Yeah, all the kids can go. I thought that was a no-brainer, but anyway. But happy Mother's Day to those of you who are here. Spiritual mothers, regular mothers, the ones online, those that are at brunch right now that will watch later. Happy, happy Mother's Day to you. And actually, this morning, you know how we're going to start? I want you to take your hand and I want you to just put it over your heart. Okay, we're just going to pray. I want to pray this morning. My last point, Bonnie, don't put that point up yet, but my last point is that God's heart goes with us. And so we're going to start with the heart, and we're just going to ask God, who's already here, to come and to speak to all of us. So true what my husband said, I think, last week, is that the one who teaches learns the most. So, man, this message is for me. So, anyway, Father, we just thank you this morning. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is already here. You're already moving. You're already working. And we just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would bring conviction. God, we say we want to change. We want to be more like you. And would help us to act on this word. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Okay. So last Sunday, if you weren't here, Jack shared a video of a woman, and actually you didn't get to see the video, you only got to hear her. And she's a pastor's wife from Hillsong, and she was sharing the testimony of her grandparents and her parents. I heard that, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and I was so moved by the video. I said to Jack, you really need to share this, because people's faith will just attach itself to this. And if you weren't here, she talked about her parents who were missionaries in Zimbabwe. And when she was 6 months old, her parents were in a tragic, a very bad car accident. And her dad, actually, I think his spine was broken, part of it, and his pelvis was broken, and his wife was in a coma. And she shares the story. She was 6 months old at the time, left home with obviously a babysitter or someone alone. And she shares that her father cried out to God because of his daughter that was there, and immediately God heard his prayer and he was healed. He literally got up out of the bed, no more broken pelvis, no more broken back, and he contacted her parents that were missionaries in India. And her father was so moved, he felt like he needed to come and pray for his daughter. So he came, literally spoke in tongues, had a prophetic word that said, you shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And when I heard that, just my faith attached itself, the testimony of God's power. And so part of my word today is about the miraculous. God wants to raise the level in our church of faith to believe for the miraculous. We all want to see the miraculous. We've all prayed for the miraculous. But I feel like God wants to lift our faith. And my first point, even before we open the word, is feed on the miraculous if you need a miracle, or others that you're praying for need a miracle. And one of the ways that you do that, obviously, is by reading the word. It's a no-brainer because it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But not just the word of God. There's lots and lots and lots of other ways to hear. And it's just testimonies, testimonies of people who have had viable healing ministries. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, a tremendous healing ministry, tremendous. There was John G. Lake, tremendous healing ministry years ago. Smith Wigglesworth, tremendous healing ministry. Feed on those things because they'll encourage your faith to believe, because we serve a God of miracles. And the last one is just books on testimonies. This is called The Happiest People on Earth, and it's a tremendous, tremendous testimony of a guy and what God did in his life. So God wants us to feed on the miraculous, both in his word and through testimony, so that when we pray, God will move through our prayers and we will see the miraculous. And I'm sure you know, if you're a part of our church, Patty Brady needs a miracle. She has no feeling from her knees down. They told her that she'll never walk again. How would you like that report? So we are believing that in spite of what the doctor said, we're believing that God is going to touch her legs and feeling and movement is going to come back. For JP, that we've been praying for his liver, this little boy, we're believing for the miraculous. So it's so, so important to feed. What you feed on will grow and live, and what you starve will die. So feed on the miraculous. Okay, please turn in your Bibles. If you have them on your phone, in your Bible, it will also be up here. We're going to read out of 2 Kings 5 today. This is the story of Naaman, one of my favorite stories. And this is a story of a miracle. And this is the story of Elisha. And I love him. And all through the Old Testament and the New Testament are stories. And this really happened. These aren't just like principles to learn. These things really happen. So we're going to read 1 through 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in the view of his master, and eminent, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but afflicted with leprosy. Now, obviously, in the land of Israel, if you had leprosy, they separated you. There were laws in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, because it was very catching, like it spread. But obviously, that was not true in Aram. Now, the Arams had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "The girl who is from the land of Israel spoke such and such." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Okay, so the word impact, I want to talk about impact today. Your life can make an impact. It says, so the definition of impact means the effect or influence of one person, thing, or an action on another. And I want you to hear this morning, a little girl. A little girl. Now, when you think of little girls, it's not a teenage girl. You're thinking maybe, when I hear little girl, I think between 5 and 7 years old, maybe. A little girl so believed in the man of God, the prophet, that she literally spoke. She spoke what she believed, and she said, "If you just go, if you just get to this prophet, you can be healed." And the amazing thing is Naaman actually acted on it. So, it says in Matthew 17:20, and I'm just going to pick it up where it says, "For truly I say to you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Nothing. And so, no matter how young or old you are, your faith makes a difference in the lives around you. And I have a little surprise this morning for you. Bonnie, would you show that video?
On Easter morning, Grandma and Grandpa and all of us came to church. And then we went back home. But Then Grandpa noticed he lost his hearing aid. We all got into the van. I said, let's pray. We prayed. Then when we got to church, we noticed it was on the road, on the parking lot. And it could have got smooshed, but then we found it. If I didn't pray, then it would have get smushed, and I knew God would help us.
I love that. I was so blessed on that Easter when Amy called us and she said, you need to come back to the church because my father-in-law lost his hearing aid. And it was Elise that said, we need to pray. That literally out of her heart. So when they came into the church, they couldn't find it. And for some reason, they thought, maybe we need to check the parking lot for it. And sure enough, it wasn't run over. Like, hearing aids aren't very big, are they? No. So I just was so blessed at her faith. And all I could think of was, you know, that is like, it's like an arrow in her bag that she'll always remember God's faithfulness. And thank God that you found it. And thank God that she prayed. And thank God that God heard that prayer. So anyway, so remember, no matter how young or old you are, your faith makes a difference in the lives around you. And He wants to have you impact the circle of your influence. Do you know you all have a circle? You all have a circle of influence, and so God wants to use you. Okay, so let's go on with the story. So starting in verse 6, he says, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, and now as this letter comes to you, behold, I've sent Naaman my servant to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy. But when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to keep alive, that this man was sending word to me to cure a man of leprosy? But consider now and see how he's seeking a quarrel against me. Interesting that they obviously didn't know the difference between a king and a prophet. They thought that the king was going to heal him. But anyway, but he believed, the king of Israel believed that he had an agenda other than just coming for just Naaman's benefit. And I want to talk to you today about agendas. You know, people have a lot of agendas, even in the church. You know, whether you're in the church or the world or wherever you are, people can have agendas. And what is really an agenda? An agenda is an underlying intention or motives that a person has. And we found over the years of pastoring that time always eventually shows the agenda. And you know, it says in Proverbs 31, it says, charm is deceitful, but beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And charm is deceitful because charm isn't interested in loving the person. Charm has an agenda and wants something. And so my next point is, don't have an agenda, but are no man anything but to love your neighbor. Isn't that a great agenda? To come to church and, God, I'm going to love you with all I've got, and I'm going to own you in anything but just to love my neighbor. If that's all we did the rest of our lives is learn how to love better, that will do us good, let me tell you. Okay, so let's move on. So don't have an agenda. Okay, so verse 8 going through 11. Now it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and that was a sign of mourning, they used to tear their clothes, put ashes on their head, that he sent word to the king saying, why did you tear your clothes? Just have him come to me, and he shall learn that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought. That that's the message. That is the title of my message today. Months ago, I read this, and behold, I thought, when I read that, it like jumped off the page of me. Behold, I thought he will certainly come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the site and cure the leprosy. You see, he had a whole expectation, didn't he? But I thought this is how God would do it. But I hope this is what God would do. I expected God to do this. You know, we wanted him to take the wand and just wave it over him. Well, that wasn't the way God had planned to heal Naaman. And it's interesting because we're so much like that. We carry a whole bag of expectations. And, you know, I've been there many times. I expected God to do something the way I thought or I wanted or I hoped. And, but that's not how God works. God has his own ways. And it says in the Word, his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And I thought of some other people in the Bible that had but I thought moments. And one, of course, was Eve. Eve thought, man, if I just eat this apple, I'm going to be really smart and wise like God. And she talked her husband into this. Now, Adam knew. God had spoken to Adam first and said, don't eat the apple. You can eat of all the other trees, but don't eat of this tree. So when Eve offered him that bite, we should have said, don't do it. I'm not participating in this. Don't do it. And he went right along with her. But I thought I would be wise. And of course, we all know what happened with Eve. Sin came into the world. All of our DNAs are affected by sin. We're born into sin, and it's only God that can forgive us. So that grandiose thought of Eve's went nowhere fast. And then I thought of Ananias and Sapphira, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, Acts 5. You can look it up yourself. And who concocted this plan? I don't know. We don't know if it was Ananias or Sapphira's idea. But they thought to themselves, we're going to keep back part of the money. And we're going to tell Peter that we're giving all the money. So it was like a half-truth, which is called a what? A half-truth is called a lie. So they concocted together to lie and so that other people would think they were generous. It was all about what other people thought. And deadly, and it was deadly for them. They both dropped dead, just literally. And I thought about what would have happened if one of them had said, I'm not going to, that's crazy. I'm not going to go along with this lie. You need to tell the truth. It might have saved both of their lives, or at least one of them would still be alive today. So actually, just two points I want to talk about that came from but I thought, because it's the I in but I thought. God wants to take the I out of the but I and put in God, but God. But God, had it not been for the Lord that was on my side. But God, your ideas, your thoughts, but God. So we need to learn, when the deal is, we need to learn to hold loosely to what we think. And we need to let God show us what he thinks about things. Because he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. But God. But God, but God. And I love the part, I love Proverbs, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all his ways, and he's going to direct your path. Trust in the Lord. And so God wants to replace the I with himself. And the other one is never, ever. Everybody say never. Okay, say never again. Never, never, never fellowship darkness in others. Never. My husband is so good with me about this. Man, when I'm feeling pretty sorry for myself, or I've been offended, or I'm mad, he never, ever comes alongside and says, what are you doing? You deserve to feel that way. You this, you that. I mean, he just does not tolerate that in me. Like, you need to forgive. You need to get by this. You need to quit feeling sorry for yourself. And, you know, he used to, when we were first married, he used to always sing me these little just ditties that said things like, cry me a river. I'm trying to think of some other ones besides cry me a river. And then he would take out his little, you know, like the thing. And I used to get so angry. But really, he saved me from going down a path that never leads to good things. Yeah, yeah, cry me a river. And I'm trying to think of some of the others. He had all these little songs that he used to sing me, and I would get so mad, madder. But you know what? He never, ever would fellowship darkness in me, and I'm so grateful for that. And so we don't want to fellowship more darkness in others. It's one thing to listen to people. You don't want to go along with their gossip. You don't want to go along with their offense. You want to say forgive, because the grace of God, the power of God, can enable us to forgive and to get more things. So don't, never, never, never just fellowship darkness in others. Okay, so let's move on to 12. We're going to read 12 through 14. Abana and Phibar, the rivers of Damascus. Now, this is the reason. This is the reason that he's giving about why he's not going to obey this. So it's, you know, it's to justify why he was so angry. And we all do that. Let me justify why I am so mad and so angry. Anyway, so are those waters not better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? Hey, where I came from, the rivers are a lot cleaner and nicer. Why can't I just go in those? So he turned and ran away in a rage. You know, it cut across his grain. Do you know it's good when God cuts across our grain? It's really good, because I think our most deadly sin is pride, and we all have it, and it works. It's always working. And the fact that he got so angry at this, you know, what the prophet had told him to do is just a revelation of what was in his own heart. So he was in a rage. And then his servants approached and spoke to him, saying, I love this, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Like, this guy was willing to do anything and everything. This seemed much too easy for him. So he says, great thing that I've done. How much more then, just when he says to you, wash and be clean. So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times in accordance with the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And what's really amazing about this is, number one, that the servants referred to him as a father. And I don't know if it's that that he just treated his servants so well that they were like sons, or else that they just respected him so much that out of respect they called him my father. That's a real term of endearment to me. And what's amazing about it is the master himself, him who had servants, actually listened to what they said. I think that is amazing that, you know, he wasn't talking to the king, he wasn't talking to his friends, he was talking to those underneath him, so to speak, and he listened to what they said. And because of that, he positioned himself to be healed. He would never have been healed if he hadn't listened. He would have gone back to the land of Israel still a leper. So he literally, by listening, positioned himself to where God wanted him. It's amazing. It's really an amazing thought. So my next point, and boy, I tell you, I need to continue to learn this in my own life. Listen to those God has put in your life, whether over you as leaders or just as friends. at listening with your heart, not just, I used to have a friend that, was more quiet than I, and she, I know that's hard to believe, and I used to say to her, wow, you're a great listener, and she said, not really. sometimes I'm not talking, and I'm thinking while you're talking to my grocery list, and I'm like, hey, thanks. But just because you're quiet doesn't necessarily mean that you're a good listener. And I love this. Here's a quote. Lead by listening. To be a good leader, you have to be a good listener. And that's so true. It says in Proverbs 1:5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Lauren Cunningham, the founder of YWAM, was so impacted. That goes back to our first word, impact, impact. God wants our lives to be one of impact. He said that when he was in New Zealand, this is many years ago when he founded YWAM, he said he met a homemaker. I love this. Do you know homemakers? This, that one homemaker has literally impacted thousands upon thousands of landowners, because when I come here, just meet her, he said, and her name is Joy Dawson, she has learned to hear the voice of God with remarkable clarity. She's become an intercessor for peoples and nations. Her life of listening, I thought that was such an amazing phrase. Her life of listening to God and obeying him in detail had a huge mark impact on Ryan himself. And one of the values of Ryan is learning how to hear the voice of God, learning to listen. And I just thought of, John the Baptist, who described himself as a voice in the wilderness, and I thought of Joy Dawson, almost like an ear. I'm an ear in the body of Christ. I learn to listen and to obey. I thought that was fantastic. But anyway, back to Naaman. Yes, he had positioned himself to be healed, not only because he listened to his servants, but because he listened to a little girl. Literally, she was a part of his healing. He would never have been healed had she not said, hey, I know somebody that can heal you. Go see this guy. Amazing, because she really believed it. Okay, let's move on. How are we doing on time? Okay, so verse 15 through 19. Then he returned to the man of God, speaking about Naaman. Then he returned to the man of God with all his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant now. Yeah, I just want to make a comment on that. And some commentators think that he brought all this money and clothes because he wanted to use his power and his stuff to buy the gift of healing, but I don't think that at all. I think he was genuinely grateful. Like it says, he returned. He didn't ever have to return. He could have gone straight home, healed, and that would have been good. But he returned because he really wanted to say thank you. But he said, as surely as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will accept nothing. And this, of course, is the prophet. And he urged him to accept it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, if not, please let your servant, which was Gehazi, be given 2 mules load of earth. For your servant will no longer offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Regarding this matter, may the Lord forgive your servant when my master goes into the house of women to worship there, and leans on my hand, and I bow down in the house of women. May the Lord please forgive your servant in this matter. So he said to him, go in peace. So he went some distance from him. Who else said to go in peace? Jesus. Really, Elisha was a type of Jesus. He wasn't Jesus, and he certainly wasn't God. He was a man, but he was a type. Many, many, many times after people were healed, Jesus said, go in peace. And I was reminded about the gratitude piece that many years ago my father, this was a long time ago, we've been here since 2001, so this probably happened in 2001. My dad was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And so the prayer group that was over at the funeral home where they owned and met, I prayed and prayed for my dad. And guess what? My dad went back to the doctors and they couldn't find any cancer. And my dad was so moved by our prayers that my dad sent a sizable check to Living Waters. And I said, it's totally not necessary. That's ridiculous. But that was the only way that my dad knew how to express his gratitude. And he just wanted to say thank you. And it was during that season when he was diagnosed that my father actually came to Christ. It was my husband that led him to Christ. And just 4 years later, the bladder cancer resurfaced and ultimately died from it. But he came to the Lord. And just out of gratitude, he wanted to do something. So anyway, so let's move on here. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, behold, my master has spared this man, the Aram, by not accepting from his hand what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. Oh my, that grieved just right on up there. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, is everything well? And he said, everything is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of clothes. So Naaman said, be sure to take two talents. And he urged them and tied up two talents of silver and two bags with two changes of clothes. And he gave them to two of his servants and they carried them before him. And when he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and deposited them in the house. And he sent the men away and they departed. But he went in, and he stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere. Now, you would have thought that Gehazi, after seeing the miraculous things that happened in the life of Elisha, would never have dared to lie to him. Like, what was he thinking? He had, but I thought I'd just run after this guy and I'm going to cash in on some of the stuff this guy has. Like, what was he thinking? He wasn't thinking was the problem. Because it goes on to say, and I love this, he says, and then he said to him, did not my heart go with you? And the man turned from his chariot to meet you. He'd been a servant long enough for the washer that really in ministry their hearts were tied together. And he said, wouldn't you have known that, Gehazi? Really, wouldn't you have known too that I would have provided for you? Because it goes on to say, is it a time to accept money and to accept clothes, olive groves, just vineyards, sheep, oxen, and male and female slaves? This is pretty amazing. Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So we went out from the presence, afflicted with leprosy, as white as snow. Oh my, that is quite a consequence. So, the last couple of things I want to say, and then in a bit we're going to stand up and respond to this word. Actually, Phyllis, why don't you come? And if you will. Thank you. Is the last point is God's heart always goes with us wherever we go. And for those of us that know the Lord, that is so encouraging. I guess if you didn't, it would be a little scary. But for those of us that do, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And I love this. In Psalm 139, 7 through 12, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol or Hades or hell, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me. We can't run away from God, and I'm so grateful that his heart always goes with us. And the last point, and this is not really all new, this is just a freebie, but you know, he said that there's a time for everything. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, and this is 3:1, it says that there's an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. And so we can trust God. Had Gehazi trusted, even in the prophet, he would have known if he said we can't receive this stuff, that I'm not going to take it. And I trust that my boat will come in another time, and I'll be able to get these things that I, you know, that he so desperately wanted. And so I just want to ask you this morning, and I'm just going to go back through those points again. I'm just going to read them, but what might God be saying to you this morning? I'm hoping that something that I said struck a chord in you this morning. Is it that God wants you to start feeding on the miraculous? So does he want you to get some books and in the Word start looking into really into the life of Jesus? Do you know a third of his ministry was healing? A third of his ministry was deliverance. Like, he moved in the power of God. In the Old Testament, tons of stories about the miraculous. Does God want to just bring home to you that he wants to make your life one of impact? I'm sure all of you in this room, your lives are making an impact. But I don't know about you, I want my life to have a greater impact. Do you feel like maybe you've had an agenda other than loving, you know, your neighbor? Are you somebody that you need to hold loosely to what you've thought? You know, I thought this or I thought that, but then you want to know what you think. I want to know what you think. I want to know your ways. I want to be directed by you. In fact, one of the things that really for me came out of this message was, as I heard the first testimony of her parents, like, faith just rose up in my heart for the next pastor. Like, that's easy. Like, that's an easy thing for God to do, as you're praying and believing for the next pastor to come. Like, God's got the perfect person that's going to be a fit in our community and in this church. Like, no problem for God. So we have to learn to hold loosely the things that we think. Never fellowship, just darkness. And if I have fellowship, God, I'm going to repent. Father, forgive me for, instead of speaking the truth and saying, no, don't be offended anymore. Just forgive that person. I'm not going to fellowship darkness. I'm going to learn to listen. Listen to others, God. Listen. Listen to you. Listen to others. And God always wants you to remember always that his heart goes with you. So can you stand up, please? Okay, in fact, Karen, I know you and Brian are in prayer team. Is he here, or is somebody else going to join you? Is he going to join you? Okay, why don't you guys come? Yeah, why don't you come forward? Yeah, thank you. I think Gary Gavanda just went to get the other door. Okay, I'm just going to end by praying and blessing you. I want you to go out of here today, feeling like, God, you've spoken to me, so what am I saying, and how can I act on this? If you need prayer, that's why we've begun to have altar team ministries again. If you need prayer about anything, please come down, and Gary and Carolyn will pray for you. And go out and have a fabulous Mother's Day. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the Word of God that can bring conviction, it can bring reproof, it can bring encouragement, it can bring strength. God, I thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. that always brings life. You said, Jesus, that your words are spirit and life. And so, God, I just declare life over these people. I declare life over this church. I declare life over this community. I declare life over this state, God. We just thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, which is the giver of life. You said, out of us will flow fountains of living water. And so, Lord, I just speak the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you, and may he give you peace. Peace on the inside is all you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.